Okay. Working feverishly during the short time out. Would you send me? I'm trying to find the Yeadon Kirsch interview. I can't find it. Just, can you send that over?
Stand by.
Mind if I sit? I hate standing while I do these programs. Anyhow, welcome back, everyone. There's a lot going on. This is the week. Let me do something for fun here. New COVID booster shots available. Let's see what comes up, because you're all going to be deluged, as we have been for several weeks now, to get your new shot, which doesn't even cover the current most common variants and subvariants. New booster shots. The FDA has approved a new round of COVID boosters. A nationwide rollout of the shots by Pfizer and Moderna will begin da 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 da. Supposedly this week. This week. I mean, it's get
That's
ready.
the word.
Practice rolling your sleeves up. Get ready. Wow. FDA approves new COVID booster amid rising cases and hospitalizations. Just out from ABC News. CNBC says FDA approves updated COVID vaccines from Pfizer and Moderna 8 hours ago. What to know about the newest COVID booster shots? How about don't even think about it? All
Well,
right.
we're going to be excluded from society if we don't take it, right?
That's what Billy Goat Gate said. I already am excluded. Oh, I don't have any friends. I sit under the freeway overpass and count cars. What the hell am I? I'm not going to miss anything. All right. Well, anyway, that's the goat. The goat did say that. Said you don't comply to the new tsunami of coming shots, and you will be excluded from society. Wow.
Never mind.
No. I go ahead. You always say fun things.
Is anyone still listening to this guy? Did they ever?
That's a very interesting question. I would hope not, but I'm afraid a lot of people who make a living by staring do pay attention to him, and they do
I wonder
stare a
how many
lot.
people still believe he's this great philanthropist.
I still wonder if he even graduated high school. That guy's stupid. He's just he's adult. No, I don't know. It's really just it. The whole thing is, honestly, it's beyond preposterous at this point. It really is. It's crazy. All right, I've got the Steve Kirsch. Now, some of you may not know who Steve Kirsch is. Steve Kirsch is a very close friend of Robert Malone, the self-proclaimed inventor of the mRNA vaccine format. There are other angles to that statement that ought to be taken into consideration. There were two other scientists who were key at inventing and developing the mRNA vaccine platform, and they weren't named Malone. But they have dropped out of sight. They're not even mentioned anymore. The stage was cleared, and Malone was anointed as the sole source of the mRNA vaccine format. But if you do any research, you'll find out that, that's not exactly how it happened. Okay, so Kirsch is one of those two. Now, not to jump ahead here, but Steve Kirsch, Kirsch, and Robert Malone are probably Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s top two power advisors. Probably. Don't be surprised, and I've been saying this since March, RFK gets in. He may end up having to run for the office as an independent. I don't know. This whole thing's going to be played out on several levels. It's all bread and circuses for the masses. So we'll see. But Kirsch has his own talk, live streaming program, and he had Michael Yeadon on as a guest. And it's an hour and a half long. No, you're not going to hear an hour and a half. But there are some interesting clips from it that I'm going to try and cue up and play. Because Mike Yeadon, as you know, was the former Pfizer vice president, their chief scientist, numero uno, number one. He ran the entire science division at Pfizer, and he got out. Mike Yeadon now has come a full 180. He clearly understands that there is a certain group of people who are running virtually everything. He knows what's going on. You don't have to read between the lines or listen between the syllables. You can tell. He's very forthright about it. He doesn't mention one or two key words, but he does talk about the controllers, and he knows. And he got on with Kirsch, and it was interesting. It was a worthy interview to listen to. All right, let's see. Let's start out right here. Forgive me while I cue these things. We always do this. We cue them up. Okay. All right. So here's Mike Yeadon with Steve Kirsch.
I think we would agree. The authorities lied to us about masking. They lied to us about the severity of the public health emergency. They lied to us about the necessity of mass testing. They lied about asymptomatic transmission. They lied about the need for border closures, school closures, small business closures, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So the same people who've done all those lying, done all that lying, they're the people who told us there's a novel virus. And yet, the all-cause mortality data says there was nothing unusual happening in the spring.
So the all-cause mortality statistics, and this would have been 2020, am I right? 2020?
I think, 2021? Yeah.
It's either one.
Probably, yeah, one of those. Probably 2020.
There was no difference. No difference.
No.
So people weren't dying from the virus in the beginning, and when they ramped this up, all of you know that people were dying from what used to be called murder. They were put in the hospital, and they were diagnosed with a test that has no business being used to try to diagnose anything like this. Then they were given remdesivir. Don't ever forget that name. It should live in infamy. Remdesivir basically damages and shuts down the kidneys, and the lungs tend to fill up with fluid, and the person is gasping. And what do? They put them on a ventilator, the quickest way to the mortuary you can imagine. And they killed hundreds of thousands of people that way. Murdered them.
Well, they also, I believe, in cases of pneumonia, withheld antibiotics.
Oh, that's right. They did. You got it. Yep. Good call. I had a friend, and he went in, and I got emails from him. Well, I'm in the ER. My wife and I both came down with COVID, and I immediately wrote back, and I said, for God's sakes, do not let them give you remdesivir. Oh, no, I'm not going to. Don't worry. No. Well, his wife was released a day or two after, and he was still in there, and he wasn't getting better. And he kept writing, and I'd say, please, do not take remdesivir. And he was getting worse. And then he wrote, and he says, well, I've lived to fight yet another day. And I went into a bit of a mental funk for a moment because I knew what they were doing. They were killing him. And I said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get your chart and look at your chart and see if they have given you remdesivir. And he said, okay, I'll do it. And I hear back, well, you were right. They gave me remdesivir. And he couldn't breathe. He was having trouble breathing already. And he said, I called the doctor in and I said, why did you give me remdesivir? And the doctor said, well, I gave you remdesivir because you needed it. And I just gave you enough to save your life. Well, my friend was dead 10 days later. They put him on a vent. and killed him. So
we
watched all this. We reported on all this. And many of you listening lost people through the same MO. They kill people, don't they? Yes, they do. All right, here's Mike Eden.
I think it's a real stretch to go and find a virus. And I think, again, I've said to people, I'm not going to fight people on our own side. We've got enough bloody common agreed things running against us that let's not fall out over this stuff. Or if you want to, I'll let you fall out on your own. But that's where I've got to. I've said before that I'm not clever enough to follow the so-called no virus arguments completely. And also I know people who work in virology, and I've explained this to them and they said, no, you don't understand, Mike. And then they start talking in deep technical terms and they've said, I know that virus X and Y exists because I worked on them, you know. And I think, you know what? I'm not going to gainsay these people. That's where I get caught. I look at the date of the pandemic. If no viruses really exist, I'm not clever enough to make the argument, and I don't make the argument. But we've been lied to, definitely. And the perpetrators meant us harm initially, because as soon as the pandemic was called, they changed hospital, care home and community treatments that predictably resulted in hundreds of thousands of innocent people losing their lives. I think they were murdered, iatrogenic murder. And then while that was going on, a bunch of people in my former industry, of which I'm now thoroughly ashamed, I was dropped by all my consulting clients in the summer of 2020. And I didn't mind them doing that. I didn't need their money. And you know what? If any of them contacted me now, I would say, screw you. You know, don't work for a crooked industry. And so I feel embarrassed that I didn't realize it wasn't all crooked. I assure you there were some very good drugs. I think it got crooked around the turn of the century. And I can even remember, I think we were running out of drug top.
Turn of the century? As in the year 2000? You want to go back another 100 years? That would be called the Rockefeller medicine takeover, turn of the century.
Yep.
Steve, and management realized we couldn't produce the output required, and some clever people came up with molecular biological ways to make and to identify and validate new targets quickly. And it was like the Human Genome Project, sequencing whole humans, and that's faster and faster. And they said, if we can sequence whole organisms and do high throughput screening, high throughput gain of function is something I've even done. If you have a protein, you don't even know what it does. You can do what's called an alanine scan. So you change all the side chains one after another. Position 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you sequence, you change it for an alanine, which is normally a small non-polar thing. And you see, does that change the function? And often it does. And anyway, so senior management persuaded the board that if we spent all these dollars on, I think Pfizer made a big six investment in sort of bioinformatics, screening, human genome and stuff. And I remember speaking to people at the time and I'm saying, this process requires what I call a TAMO box, Steve. You're moving from the left to the right. You've got information, on the right is the pot of gold. TAMO stands for then a miracle occurs. It's like you couldn't logically follow all the steps and have any real chance of getting a drug. And I only know of one drug that emerged out of that investment. And damn it, it's supposedly to treat HIV that I think is fraudulent. You know, I'm afraid HIV was made up by the very same people, including Fauci, that has made this up. But so that's like an N of... Anyway, just to be clear, it hasn't been a pandemic. I can't comment on whether or not someone's got something in a test tube, and I'm not willing to make some statement about the entire category of pathogens. I'm not clever enough, so that's where I'll stop. But nasty people are coming at us. The evidence for that was very clear very early.
Okay, nasty people are coming at us non-stop, and they're getting their game more and more honed and polished all the time through the mainstream media. And as Erica has said many times, people who find the alt media think reflexively that they have somehow stumbled across reality. Sadly, in so many cases, nothing could be further from the truth. You'd probably be better off with the mainstream media bullshit, excuse my French, than you would be with some of the alt news big shots and big voices and fast-track promoted hustlers and phonies. They're all over the place. I'm sure many of you have gotten to the point now where you can spot them as we can. And we can spot them because we do this all the time. All right, go ahead.
Oh, I would agree. You know, you're just looking at another matrix when you start to delve into the alt news arena.
Oh, it's scary. Yeah. It's got this patina of... The cavalry is coming to save the day. No,
right.
That's not happening.
So, yeah, for people that can't hone their discernment skills, it's
right.
Very, very difficult. I mean, you can pretty much manufacture your own reality. You know, if there's a particular narrative that suits you, that you're inclined to believe in, it's easy to find the proof to support that.
Okay, here's, let me see where I am here. 36, 40. Okay, good. All right, I'm about 10 seconds before my start point, but we'll go ahead. Here's Mike Yeadon again, former chief science officer, scientist of Pfizer, and vice president.
You have a way of looking into the mind of the designer, what were they trying to accomplish?
Designer of the vax.
Those injections, folks, were definitely designed with the intention of causing injury, maiming, and killing. There's no other purpose for them.
Got that? That comes from one of the top people ever in the field of big pharma vaccine development. He knows. And he's so right. Hold on, I gotta... I want to hear that again. Okay. This is quite a statement.
I know from my 32 plus years of rational drug design experience, the structure of molecules are not random. They are a consequence of intentions in the mind of the designer that are then sort of rendered into, you know, a practical thing. And so, given that's what I did for a living for a long time, I was quite good at it. I worked shoulder to shoulder with medicinal chemists and biotechnologists. If you examine a kind of a medicinal entity written on paper or whatever, you have a way of looking into the mind of the designer. What were they trying to accomplish? And those injections, folks, were definitely designed with the intention of causing injury, maiming, and killing.
Okay, there it is. He's really a remarkable fellow in many ways, Mike Yeadon.
He's not pulling any punches. He's just putting it out there. And it's interesting to watch the visual, if you get a chance to actually watch the video, just the expressions and the body language and...
Right.
The wheels turning in Steve Kirsch's head as to how he's going to counter some of these statements.
Correct. All right, here's one more clip. Then we have to move on to other things, lots of things. Here we go.
For a mass market, never, ever, because they prompt your body to make things that are non-human. Your body is finely tuned. It plays nice.
Maybe.
For example, we cleanse and express...
Hold on, I'm going to back
example,
this up.
We cleanse and express the bits of means that are non... But
okay.
with the performance of these new technology vaccines that
right.
we've agreed to work with, Moderna, Pfizer, whatever it is, to build a manufacturing plant for mRNA vaccines, you know, in every country. And it's like, oh my God, these things can't be safe. They'd never be safe for a mass market. Never, ever. Because they prompt your body to make things that are non-human. Your body is finely tuned. It plays nice with itself if things that are inside Mike Eden are Mike's proteins, or inside Steve Kerser, Steve Kerser's proteins. But if, for example, we cleansed and expressed a bit of me and Steve, or vice versa, our immune system would attack it. That's the same basis of transplant rejection. And so if your body is induced to make a piece of non-human protein, wherever it comes from a virus if it exists, or just from an invented sequence, your body will assume it's either infected or cancerous, and it will unleash a lethal attack on every cell that's taken up and expressed that injection. These cannot be safe mass market products. It doesn't matter what they tell you. It doesn't matter what clinical trials they do.
Okay. They cannot be safe for mass market use under any circumstances. Very clear. I think our last program, or the program before, we had Dr. Kevin Stillwagon.
Yeah.
And he said, never, ever take a booster. He's very, very eloquent about it. You can find it in, look on the right side of the page, Jeff and Erica Archive, and you'll look down for a Stillwagon. And there's a very nicely illustrated little segment he did explaining how the lipid nanoparticle works. It's all right there. So that's for you. It's there. There's a tremendous number of really important stories there. All of our programs are there as well. We urge you to share them and listen to them twice, because some of the information is a little bit heady, and we try to keep it very accessible. And I think most of the times we succeed. Okay, so there you go. Next, we are going to talk about more information about turbo cancers. Now, we saw Dr. Ryan Cole months ago mentioning that he is seeing just an avalanche of turbo cancers. And these people are literally dying within 2, 3, 4 weeks of diagnosis. They're getting along okay. They go in to have something or another tested, and they get worked up, and lo and behold, the doctor finds that they have cancer all over the place, and they're gone in a matter of weeks before they could even come up with a protocol to try to offer them to deal with the cancer. They're dead. And this is happening all over, especially with apparently younger adults now, 20s, 30s. What do we have on that?
Well, if you recall, I read a couple of comments from one of the practitioners group last week where they are. Yeah. One seemed to equate it with the Moderna more so than the others for some reason. And then Epoch Times had a small video out tonight, short video, with Dr. Harvey Riesch.
Uh-huh.
On American Thought Leaders, and it's titled Dr. Harvey Riesch, The Rise in Aggressive Turbo Cancers, and Especially Among Younger People. Here's a little bit of the preview here, the synopsis. What clinicians have been seeing, says Dr. Harvey Riesch, is very strange things. For example, 25-year-olds with colon cancer who don't have family histories of the disease. That's basically impossible along the known paradigm for how colon cancer works, and other long latency cancers that they're seeing in very young people.
Mm-hmm.
We discussed the rise of what are called turbo cancers and what may be causing them. Some of these cancers are so aggressive that between the time that they're first seen and when they come back for treatment after a few weeks, they've grown dramatically compared to what oncologists would have expected for the way cancer normally progresses. So far, there's a couple interesting comments in the chat. A friend of mine, out of the blue, was diagnosed with spindle cell sarcoma.
Never
quite
heard
a
of
rare
it.
Cancer.
Yeah.
No. She had major surgery removing 4 ribs, 1/3 of her lung, all lymph in the chest cavity, several muscles in her back and diaphragm.
Oh, my God.
She's in her early 50s.
That's butchery. That's just butchery.
Yeah.
That's awful.
With no known family history of anything like this, she is vaxxed. Another one says, I have 2 friends, healthy before the jab and boosters. One woman, 60, just died of turbo brain cancer. From diagnosis to death, 4 months. Never had a health issue of any kind. The other friend is 30, jabbed and boosted, diagnosed 5 months ago, turbo brain cancer. She is fighting it, but it's stage 4. She's in a clinical trial, but nothing seems to be working. Both women were warned and pleaded with not to take the boosters. Both cut off all contact with the unvaccinated.
Wow. These some of these surgical reports are like the one you just read are just horrific, horrible.
And that's mutilation, you know. It's
yeah. It is. Okay, let's go back. We'll maybe revisit this a little later. We're going to step back to Steve Kirsch, and don't forget Robert Malone is right in there. Oh, and by the way, in case you're new to this. There was a program called, am I thinking right, The Dark Horse? Was that it?
Yeah, The Dark Horse Podcast.
Okay. There was I call them radio programs or whatever, but it's a podcast.
Well, it is a YouTube channel. It's a YouTube channel.
Got it. So there was a program, and I don't remember who brought it to my attention. Maybe it was you. I don't know. But on one program, there were these 2 new people I had never seen before as guests on the program. And one was Dr. Robert Malone, who didn't say much. And the other was Steve Kirsch, who is an independently wealthy Jewish-American, scientifically oriented researcher, I guess, and product developer. I think I got pretty close to being right. And the host of the program, forgotten his name.
Brett Weinstein.
Brett Weinstein, that's right. Okay. So he had these 2 guys on. And I looked at them and I listened to them for a while. And I said, these guys are being introduced. This is a launch. They're going to be around. And Malone and Kirsch are now, you know, top drawer, big name recognition. And they're also, as I mentioned, probably, arguably, Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s primary power advisors. I don't know any other people to even name, but they're in it. And I do think RFK will be installed one way or the other. And I think you can look to see that one, certainly Malone, will get a, if I'm right, it's a projection, not like QAnon. I'm basing it on real pragmatic thinking and reduction. I think you'll see Malone get a very big appointment in the administration and possibly Kirsch as well. Don't be surprised. So there you go on that aspect of it. Now, there's a woman, Allison McDowell. Tell us about Allison and we'll play the beginning of this. It's because she's very astute. This is a sharp lady.
Yeah, she, I guess I first came across her at the beginning of the pandemic a few years ago on Facebook and was very impressed with her research and her comments. They were very provocative at the time, which ended up getting her effectively canceled on Facebook. And then she, you know, just gave up on Facebook and went elsewhere. And at that point, I lost track of her. But anyway, she has resurfaced. You know, she's been around. It's not like she disappeared. I just hadn't known where she ended up. But she did an analysis of RFK Jr. As a presidential candidate when he first announced this. I forget when it was. She did this analysis back in April, and it's about an hour long. And this woman really does her homework. I believe she came into this sphere of this type of research because she had a kid in the school system, and approximately 8 years or so ago, she was so riled up about it that she decided to look a little deeper and has really dug up some interesting things. I mean, she's an incredible dot connector, I would say, and has really laid out a lot of background information on RFK that you really need to pay attention to if you're considering lending support to this effort for his presidential candidacy.
Right. Here's an interesting little story. As you longtime listeners know, I have two videos of RFK Jr. In one of them, I'm paraphrasing, saying that he's definitely pro-vaccine, like Trump, pro-vaccine. Then he did a 180, and he's anti-vaccine now, and so is Malone. But I also have video of Malone saying, and I'm paraphrasing, he did this in an interview in Hawaii, we need to get as much vaccine into as many adults and seniors as quickly as we possibly can. And now he's totally anti-vax. And we played that on the program here. So both of them have done 180s. They had to, or they wouldn't even be given the time of day by an awful lot of Americans who now understand that the vaccine is a biological weapon of death and destruction. So they're both on that track now.
I think they are portraying themselves as people's heroes, where they're going to come in and put a stop to these atrocities. But then when you look at their ties, their corporate ties, you know, they're heavily invested in various types of treatments, not necessarily vaccines, but it's a whole industry that's going to be predicated on collecting biodigital data, personalized medicine. There's still quite a bit of a control mechanism that they want to install.
Through this
biodigital, means of control. I think they're hoping that there are enough vax-injured people that are so outraged that they will just automatically get their vote. And have these people believing that they're the knight in shining armor.
I think that's a...
I think they are just as tied to the power structure as anyone else.
Sure. Here's the thing. I'm speaking for myself. RFK Jr. is controlled, no question.
Yeah.
And yet the American sheeple, by and large, see him as the last hope for the stolen destinies of JFK and RFK, who were murdered before they could complete their dream, which the media liked to call Camelot back then. So they're going to use that sympathy, and they already are, to garner RFK Jr. a lot more support. He is the legacy of John Kennedy and Robert Kennedy and Camelot. Call it Camelot 2.0. This man deserves every chance to step in and finish their work. There's that.
They will exploit that angle for sure.
Yes. The Buffalo News reports RFK Jr. says he's not anti-vaccine. His record shows the opposite. It's one of the many inconsistencies in his campaign, isn't it? So there is still some fine-tuning, shall we say, that needs to be done with the RFK campaign. But he is on the way. I've watched him very carefully, and his writers, he's saying, like Trump did in 2015, 2016, he's saying all the right sorts of things. There you go. All right. Here is Allison McDowell talking a little bit about the RFK issue.
Okay, so now I'm just going to get along to sort of the particular. So again, I think that this entire thing that was happening to me on Substack, you know, and I think it happened to me because, again, I'm one of the few people who's offering a different storyline, right, about the health freedom movement and this idea of, yeah, it matters if you believe there was a pandemic, because then from that flow, the idea, you know, from Robert F. Kennedy's book, Fauci book, it was mismanaged. That's the first chapter, mismanaging a pandemic, and that they would have a better approach to future pandemics, right? And we see that. You can't erase that history, right? The entire whole thing of the frontline doctors and my white coats and let doctors be doctors and all this stuff. And I kept saying, hey, I'm not saying that doctors can't be a part of the resistance, but you shouldn't put them out front, because that's actually is exactly, these are people who've been embedded in the system that brought us to this point in the first place. So just because you want to sort of tell us that they've had a change of heart or they've seen the light, that's fine. And you can make that change, but don't put them in as the leaders. Because what that means is, if you believe that a pandemic did happen, and I'm not saying that nothing happened, but what I'm saying is we need to be paying a lot more attention to things like frequency and nanotechnology and other things that may have caused these really complex effects on people and later repercussions. And again, Steffers has done really good work on the nanotechnology space. And looking, you know, I would especially direct people to, like, there's one about like shedding and transmission set in a grocery store. I can't remember the title right off, but this idea of frequency fields of influence, right? Because what Michael Levin's working on in morphogenesis, I think is also fields are in play. And I think these substacks are creating their own fields of influence. So there are many things that we need to talk about. I'm not saying that nothing happened, but I'm saying if you identify as a pandemic and you put the doctors in charge, the tool of the trade, and you adopt a bioweapon lab leak hypothesis, what you've then done is open the door to us being controlled by biosensors, because you can say, oh, well, you know, look at our terrible government who developed these things, but, you know, to be safe, they might do it again. We all should have nanobots in our blood to do the next thing, right? We're going to need the electron microscopes to figure out the next pathogen, right? That's the next thing. We're going to need the good drugs. We should be having Steve Kirsch do all sorts of special finance deals to tell us what the good drugs are for the next pandemic. And that's not a path I want to go down. Now, I'm not saying everybody has to follow the path I'm taking, but people have to know that there's actually, it makes a difference what your position is on this. And RFK Jr.'s position, until I see otherwise in some very firm and clear public statement, that his first chapter of mismanaging a pandemic, and then, you know, 100 plus pages of essentially selling everybody on early treatment protocols and specialty drugs created by pharmaceutical companies, that he's not doing that anymore, I'm going to presume he is. I'm going to say that's not where I stand, right? And I think that's not where a lot of people stand. So they have to figure out how to thread that needle and bring him forward as some sort of viable candidate, unless he's already been tapped to give us the better managed pandemic, you know, which is a really scary prospect. Because again, you know, I will say I saw.
Hold on. Allison is saying something pretty important here, that RFK in reality is still enfolded. I didn't say embedded, but I might as well, with Big Pharma through the council guidance and influence of Kirsch and Malone and others. And he's not this let's walk away into entirely new territory person. He wants to manage it better.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying in his book. And we don't need that. No. We don't need that at all. We need honest investigation, and we need accountability, and we're not going to get it. But that's what we need. All right.
That in this presentation by Liz Mumford before, she was presenting about vaccinology and using personalized medicine towards these safe outcomes. And again, that's not something I'm signing up for, but that who better to legitimate that prospect than a Robert Malone figure, right? The guy who developed the technology in the first place, and someone that we know is already working in that space. It seems logical. And, you know, I was telling Cliff the other day, it's like there's a psychological experiment where they say, okay, so I want you to watch the basketball passes. There's a team wearing white shirts and a team wearing dark shirts. And I want you to count how many passes the team with the white shirts makes in this amount of time, all right? So people are really focused and they're paying close attention and they're like, okay, this, and they're like, okay. At the end, they're like, okay, the correct answer is 16 passes. Now, did you see the gorilla walk through the game? And they're like, there's a gorilla? There's like a gorilla? And they're like, no, I didn't see the gorilla. And then they play it back and they're like, oh yeah, there's totally a gorilla walking right through the thing. And so what I'm saying is, like, this stuff that I'm talking about is the gorilla walking through the psychological experiment. So everyone is being steered through these peripheral, you know, behavior-changing nudges and social reactions as social insects and slime mold cells or whatever by the influencers who are, you know, the catalytic agents. And the gorilla is walking through the room, and it's, you know, at the end of the thing, it's going to be life ruled by electron microscope, right? And the frontline doctors or something like that. So if that's the case, I think we're all going to be in trouble, and we're going to feel really silly that we went along with this for so long. So again, I've got Steve Kirsch. You know, again, here's the thing. Like, so, you know, here's his Twitter. I think it's from February. I'm forming a super PAC to draft RFK Jr. to run for president. Okay, so he's like, yeah. So, okay, so, and Steve Kirsch has shown up, right? Like, why is Steve Kirsch in the mix on all of these things? Oh, gosh, I thought I had more on there. Okay.
Well, the answer is because Kirsch is a player, and he's been assigned to manage, shepherd, encourage, and plot the campaign of RFK Jr., who announced shortly after that super PAC announcement that he was running for president. And Malone, you will not hear much about Malone, but believe it, he is right there, up to his eyeballs in it. And these two guys, Kirsch and Malone, I think are the prime motivating factors behind the RFK campaign at this point. And we'll see. We'll go a little bit more with Allison, just a little.
So maybe it's in here. Oh, I did. Okay. I must not have added the picture. So Steve Kirsch, just to clarify, he's, again, from MIT. Search engine, right? So that, again, searching through lots of information, finding relevance. So that it's pattern seeking, right? And that's exactly what's being done right now in these psychological experiments online.
Okay. All right. That's enough. That's Allison McDowell. And she goes on for an hour about this, and she really takes it apart. Very, very good insights. And that was just the very beginning of it. So there you go. I'll put these.
Yeah,
up in headlines.
Just for the record, I mean, you know, it was somewhat news to me because I don't really follow politics that much. But RFK Jr. is very tied into some of these green companies, these corporate environmental groups, so-called environmental groups.
They're globalist fronts.
Yes, yes.
Of course.
You know, going back for a number of years.
Right.
So, as she said, for him to suddenly change horses midstream, that would be a shocker. So I think there's, you know, a lot that he's not saying right now when he's...
He's a player. They're all players.
Right.
We've got to remember this is all a carnival act. It's a very clever, multi-layered, very convoluted carnival show, all of it. And it doesn't matter. Ultimately, it doesn't matter who's in the White House, okay? It doesn't matter. This country is being taken down. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
So whoever ends up in there at the wrong time might be collared with part of this, but when you look at it as it is now, the Biden crime family syndicate and the Obama control mechanism is obviously what is leading the charge toward the demolition of the nation state of the United States of America. That's what's going on. It's obvious. And I wouldn't dismiss Trump at all from the four preceding years, because what the hell did he do to restore America? Now, I know a lot of pro-Trumpers are going to say, well, he did this and that and the other. Not my world, he didn't. He had 4 years to make major changes, and he didn't do it. Just didn't do it. All he did was appoint a bunch of professional political hacks, and all they did was exactly what you'd expect them to do, carry on with their same corrupted mindset. As awful people. Okay, let's jump ahead here. We need to get some of this reader material done. Where do you want to start? Did you have some things that you wanted to read? I forget.
I guess maybe looking at some of these support groups for well, we know a lot of the population is vax injured at this point, whether they know it or not. And
absolutely.
One of the, well, they're all kind of puzzling. There was a there's a B6 toxicity group that is just exploding. In fact, there's more than one. With people coming into the group just based on a blood test where their B6 levels are high. Now, granted, there are genetic conditions that lend to having issues if somebody consumes too much B6, but not typically from food. It's usually from supplements or B6 added to supplements like energy drinks. But nevertheless,
those things should be outlawed. Those are horrible.
Didn't people die from that 5-hour energy?
Some of them did. There have been fatalities. Yes.
But B6 is a vitamin. It's an essential vitamin. It's very involved in having a healthy nervous system, and because there exists six different forms, they call them isomers or vitamers of B6. Your physiology may determine if you or which pathways these things go down, and there are a couple, one or two forms of this that are not very friendly to your nervous system. And that could be what these people are dealing with. I mean, my hunch is that the vast majority of these are vax-injured people. They don't know that the vax has damaged them in these very profound ways, where they're having the B6 toxicity or the high level of B6 in their blood is more representative of derangements in their metabolism. Their bodies are struggling, utterly struggling, and they can't utilize the vitamin, so it builds up and in some cases can become toxic. But a lot of assumptions are being made just based on a simple blood test, and they really haven't been worked up or thoroughly evaluated for what their problems really are. And I cringe when I see a lot of the reports that, I mean, some of these protocols that they undertake at the suggestion of people in these groups that are, you know, they're not doctors. These are just lay people trying to help each other. They're really not being served well. And, for example, in this B6 toxicity group, one of the obvious solutions is to eliminate all sources of B6, starting with supplements, but then carrying over to food. Well, all right, that if it's a true overload of B6 that's affecting the nervous system, that would make sense. But if there's more going on, I mean, B6 is critical. If you don't have B6, you can't make heme. You cannot manage sulfur. You can't make neurotransmitters. It's a very, very critical vitamin. And when you have a deficiency of it, you get skin rashes, mood disorders, brain fog, just along with anemia. We have an epidemic of anemia now. But unfortunately, many of these people are being told that the solution is simply to eliminate B6, and they're not addressing everything else that's going wrong.
Wrong.
And it's unfortunate because
90
there's a shortage of competent medical help out there right now. So these people flounder.
Well, there's no shortage of tests.
Yeah, tests, but more often than not, they don't really tell anything because they're not looking at the metabolism.
Correct. Yeah. Now, how many times have all of you heard us reading anecdotal stories of people dealing with their back injury, describing test after test after test after test, and nothing comes of it except lots of bills? They're very expensive, but there's no resolution to this injury syndrome. These are permanent injuries. These are DNA changes to your body. They're not going to go away.
There's things you can do to correct the metabolism. I mean, some of these vitamin deficiencies, particularly the Bs, the B12, B2, folate, and they're just utterly depleted.
Right. No,
niacin being a big one.
You do need to eat right. Let me make one quick comment. Allicin C every day. It's an extraordinary help to a system that in many cases is suffering from acquired immune deficiency syndrome. It's going to be invaded by all manner of bacterial and viral issues. Allicin C, and maybe even more important, or at least as important, bio superfood. You have no idea of how poor your nutrition is. Without bio superfood, you are missing thousands upon thousands of nutrients that you need every day. And every little capsule of bio superfood has over 15,000 different nutrients. All right, go ahead and wrap it up. We're almost done.
We don't really have time to get into these readers right now. So maybe we can do them.
All right.
What, Wednesday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll do them Wednesday.
Okay.
So B6 is be aware of that. Hope this has been helpful, and we'll be back on Wednesday to carry on. Thanks, partner. Great job.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
And we will be right back.